MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, it's been a bumpy year for global aviation, with passenger numbers soaring and premium class travel surging ahead. The International Air Transport Association releasing its 2024 World Air Transport Statistics Report. And let me tell you, it's a goldmine of insight into how, where and what the world is flying. I want to discuss these trends and what they mean for travelers, airlines and regional markets. I'm joined by well-known aviation analyst and commentator Lyndon Burns. Lyndon, premium class, this is interesting, growing by nearly 12% last year. That's faster than many economies. Do you think it's a post-COVID boom or a deeper shift maybe in airline economics?
Hi, Jeremy. I think it's a combination of two things, and it's where that growth is taking place. And significantly, that boom in premium class travel is happening in Asia Pacific. It's growing at like 28%, which is phenomenal. And I think, you know, if you look across not just last year's numbers, but also this year, what's been happening, of course, this year is a very different picture globally because of the three T's, you know, Trump, trade and tariffs. Asia Pacific seems to be, I won't say immune, but more immune than anyone else. It seems to be a very resilient market, a lot of strong intra Asia Pacific trade and commerce and tourism that's happening. And so we're seeing there that in the premium market, it was what, 21 million premium passengers. It was a year-on-year growth of 22.8% last year just in that market. And we're seeing similar this year. It's, if we look at June's numbers for this year, year-on-year, it's 9% up on the same last year. Whereas if we look at Africa, for example, we're a much smaller market. We only represent about 2% of the global market. We've got about just under 4 million premium travelers within the travel with African Airlines last year. And we're seeing that market growing at around 5.5% for premium travel. And we're seeing about 11% for economy travelers. 57 million economy travelers traveled with African Airlines last year. But again, if we look across at this year, it's a lot slower. We've seen only a 0.8% rise in demand for passenger travel in the African market in June this year compared to last year. And a lot of that's down to, again, you know, increased competition, the fact that within Africa, we've got a very low propensity to travel because of the low per capita income compared to places like the Asia Pacific, Europe and North America.
And Lyndon, that observation is in the data because there are 3.3 million passengers on the Johannesburg to Cape Town route. It's Africa's busiest route. It tells us a lot then about intra-country versus cross-border travel on the continent and where the balance is.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually surprised by that number. The more people that travel between Cape Town and Joburg than travel between New York, JFK and Los Angeles.
Wow.
Last year, they only had 2.2 million passengers on that route. So, yes, it's a real headache. And this actually plays into the broader picture. You know, when the president says, oh, we need to pivot trade and look at intra-Africa and the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, you go, yeah, that's all very good, but can people in those markets afford our products and services? And we're seeing that reflected as it is in demand for air travel and for air cargo, because they do reflect, they're a very handy mirror or barometer, whichever analogy you want to use, of the state of trade, commerce and economic health.
So, Lyndon, in that respect then, and based on your observation and these trends, where should South Africa be focusing its efforts in order to stay relevant and competitive?
I think we need to be doing more everywhere, frankly. What's a little disconcerting is that, you know, the Africa-Asia trade lane was looking very healthy until about May this year, and then suddenly it started reversing, and we've seen those numbers declining for two consecutive months now. So that's not a good sign. I don't know to what extent that's influenced by seasonality, if it's to do with holidays or perishable good exports, or I'm not quite sure what it is, but it's not looking great. You know, you'd think that we would be a very attractive source market, as well as a destination, obviously for travelers because of the low cost, the weak rand, and therefore the great value for money proposition that we offer. for foreign travelers. And you would also think that we'd be a competitive market for investment. But obviously, there are more fundamental issues here that we've got to deal with in South Africa. And we know what they are, to do with crime, corruption, governance, accountability. And it's all very good having all the other things. But if we don't have those, people aren't going to come.
And interesting to see the Boeing 737 and the Airbus A320 families remain the workhorses of aviation. Why are airlines still leaning so heavily on these two narrow-body jets? Is there no other alternative?
I think we're actually going to see even more use of the narrow-body aircraft as Boeing and Airbus start filling out their order books. The only other viable alternative in the same category, and we're talking about aircraft in the 150 to 200 seat bracket. You know, the Brazilians with Embraer make aircraft up to about 125, 130 seats. The only other manufacturer that's looking at breaking into that market is Comac from China, but the aircraft, first of all, is not yet fully certified, and it's not certified outside of China. And I think there's going to be an issue around how do they break through the resistance and the inertia in the market. They're going to have to satisfy the banks that those are, you know, solid investments, that they'll hold their residual value. They'll have to demonstrate to operators that they have good customer support and that there's, you know, deep supply lines. It's already a frustration in the industry at the moment with supply chain crisis. You can wait up to 3 years for some aircraft parts at the moment. Wow. And that's also why we're seeing a lot of the older 737s and A320s remaining in service longer than they would have, because, you know, the manufacturers aren't able to turn them out at the tempo they would have preferred to. They were hoping to be producing them at around about 60 a month each, but they're down at currently at about 30 and 40. And that's meaning that airlines have to keep all the aircraft in service for longer than they'd originally intended.
Lyndon, just a quick one in conclusion. Middle East has the highest share of premium passengers. Latin America, Europe, North America, all seeing premium travel outpace economy. So fair to say then that business travel is back now with a vengeance, or at least being redefined in one way or another.
I think so. And certainly last year, you know, I remember this report is 2024 numbers, and that's why I was kind of qualified at saying a lot's changed since then. Let's see how this year pans out. It'll be fascinating to see if that buoyancy and optimism that characterized last year, you know, in terms of trade and commerce continues, and that activity. You know, people obviously still see a lot of value in premium travel, and it's a very competitive space. We may not, South Africans, I think we're seeing it becoming more and more expensive, relatively speaking. But obviously, you know, for everyone else, it's seen as a good value proposition.
Lyndon Burns, as always, thank you very much indeed.